Hey guys, and welcome to the Personal Growth Podcast. My name is Jack Stafford, and it is a pleasure to be doing this podcast with you guys. Now, it's been a couple of weeks since I last recorded an episode, and that's because I don't want to just record a podcast for the sake of it, just to get the numbers out there. I want it to be a case of when I'm actually doing these, I'm speaking from the heart, I'm speaking from a very passionate place, and hopefully you can really get some value from that. And in today's episode, we're actually going to explore mental health a little bit and almost have it as like a open-ended conversation with you. Because since coming out the other end of depression and to where I am today, I'm always reflecting, always trying to learn about like our headspace, psychology, and our existence, you know. And I'm very much in the idea, and this is my personal belief, that we are, you know, spiritual beings living a human existence. Now, if I was to say that a couple of years ago, I mean, you know, that wasn't going to be me. And that just shows like the power of, you know, how someone can change. And with that, that's come from a place of not being in a good mental headspace to being in a lot more of a content and healthy headspace. Don't get me wrong, you know, we still get our down days, we still get our rough patches, but that's part of the human experience. But reflecting on this journey, you know, a lot of the mental health issues people have and I had makes a lot of sense. And I just want to share some ideas with you guys that might get you thinking in a different way. Because there is so much chaos, what it seems, to life right now, without getting too political, but as we know all what's going on in the world, and especially since the pandemic, things have been so nuts and bonkers for quite a while now. And it's almost like we're used to it, but we're not at the same time. We don't want to get used to it. And these unsettling environments that we're currently in can play a massive part on our mental health. Factor that in with things like social media, which definitely don't help, especially if you don't control your social media. So if we're kind of reading in between the lines here, why is mental health such an epidemic? Why is it the biggest killer in men, where suicide is, you know, guys who are middle age? What is really going on? And I think we're having more open discussions about it, and I think it's going in the right direction. But at the same time, someone who isn't in a good space will not come round straight away to the idea when you're saying, oh, it's okay to not be okay, and all of these kind of nice sentimental things that these mental health campaigns say. But the person in that space won't really receive that message, because I've been there. And, you know, it's okay to say it when you're not in necessarily a really dark space, but when you are in a dark space, sometimes it's hard to get perspective or to get your head around things, because you are very kind of conditioned to be negative and always focusing on what's wrong and all of those sort of things, which is going to lead me on to my first point, really. And it's a quote that's really stuck with me ever since hearing it, because it just rings so true. And it's from this this guy who's very well respected in the personal development industry called Jim Rohn. And he said in one of his seminars, he said, you have to condition your environment, otherwise your environment will condition you. And that really hit home, because for me, that says a lot about if we are not doing things on a daily basis to condition and program our mind to benefit us, to be more positive, to have a healthier perspective, to emotionally process things better or in a more healthy and less destructive way. If we're not doing those actions for those elements of our life, then our environment around us is going to take control over us. And that's where so many negative and destructive emotions and feelings come in, like overwhelm, frustration, feeling sad, constantly concerned, you know, depressed. Because our environment will then condition us to always focus on the things that we don't have, the places that we're not. And no matter what kind of headspace you're in, antidepressants will not help. Yes, they might short-term relieve a bit of the pain, but they only get to the effect and not the actual cause. And that's what I'm asking you, is what is at the root cause of your personal situation? So whether you're in a good headspace or not, even if you're in a positive headspace, you are in a good headspace because that's how you've conditioned your mind to be so. You've conditioned your environment to set you up, whether that's the right people around you, whether you're in a job that you enjoy and you're allowed to express yourself and you're around a working environment that doesn't make you feel like shit, they appreciate your worth, all of these elements of your life, you know, you're setting yourself up in the right way. Whereas someone who might have resentment towards themselves or hating their life, their environment is getting the better of them, and that's because they're not setting it up for themselves. And that's one thing I really learned massively when I was in that dark space, was my environment, I was not setting up for myself before working out and getting into fitness. I was so destructive with alcohol and the drugs and just being a lazy bum. I say that laughing now, but you know, that was a dark space to be in. And I wasn't eating any good food. I was putting my body under chronic stress with my crap diet. I wasn't working out. I wasn't moving. I wasn't being mindful in the slightest. I was being the exact opposite. I was living so destructively in my ego that it's no wonder that I felt that way. And that's what I'm asking to you, if you are struggling or if you're not necessarily in the best space now. It's asking yourself, are you setting up your environment to help you, to condition your mind to become more positive and to feel better within yourself? So that's just an important question to really reflect on, to be honest, guys. And I want you just to come away from this podcast thinking about that. Because if you're not, then there are plenty of actionable steps from where you are now to where you want to be. And from what I've learned being a coach, it all really does come down to a couple of things. And that's definitely controlling how you move your body. Because if you were to change your physiology in an instant, your emotional state will change. Your thought patterns will change. So changing your physiology, but also controlling how you nourish your body with the right food. Because excess sugar and crap food, which is what we get from cravings, what we go for comfort eating if we're trying to escape a certain pain, that's what emotional eating a lot is about. All of these things, all this rubbish food going into your body, it is putting your body under stress that it does not want. Coupled with not already being in a good space, your mind is already inflamed. There's almost so much stress going on in your mind and you're putting more stress into your body. Where is the steps going to come if you're doing that? That's going to take you away from that space. You're just going unconsciously down that negative spiral. And then you're asking yourself, why am I always feeling this? Why can't I get better? And it's right there in front of you. But when you're not conscious of it, how can you know to do anything about it? So changing the way you move, controlling the way you move, controlling how you nourish your body. Sleep, working on your sleep is so incredibly important. And also practicing a little bit more mindfulness. I'm not talking about you have to become the next meditation guru or you have to do yoga. Mindfulness basically meaning just bringing some awareness into the present. So that could be maybe writing some thoughts down. That could be things like, well, what I do my affirmations. I sometimes sit still in silence and just observe what's around me. For example, you could be in your room and you could just listen to the noise of the silence and seeing what's around and trying to feel every sensation in your body. Maybe if there's a little bit of wind coming across your skin, you feel that across the hairs on your arm. That's a fantastic way of practicing mindfulness, and it's so simple. So with those four, those are actionable steps if you're not in the best space. Or you could take now, even when you're in a good space. But those are four things that you can always, always focus on and that are in your control. And they are things that will help you start to recondition your mind to feel more positive and to have a better internal world of how you view yourself. Because then that's a mirror of everything else in our life. And I can relate to this because this is how I used to be. When I was in a dark space, when I wasn't happy, I used to think the world was against me. I played that victim mindset. I thought people hated me. I didn't feel accepted. All of these things. I felt embarrassed to be who I was, really. And I thought a lot of that came down to thinking everyone was against me and, you know, it was me backed against the wall. And that reflection of, you know, the external looking in was just a mirror of how I felt within inside of myself. And once you change that into, you know, working on yourself and controlling those four things of movement, you know, what you nourish your body with, sleep, mindfulness, that's a great way to start. Once you focus on that, suddenly you will not feel like the world is against you. And actually you'll start to feel like things are in your control and there is a trajectory for you looking a lot more positive than maybe not doing those four things. So that's just something, guys, you can take in terms of actionable steps. If you were to review kind of what you're putting into your body, you might be shocked at, you know, what you are ingesting. If you were to write everything down that you ate in a week, it would just brings a lot of conscious awareness into it, or maybe the lack of movement. So that's just something to think about, guys, and to take away from this. Now, coming late into my journey, I've learned a lot more about our ego. When you are not in the best spaces, you are very much attached to your ego. And what is ego? Well, basically, ego is almost like this protection mechanism of that comes from the most deep-rooted instinct of us as human, the human race, and that is survival. That is our most basic fundamental need. If you look back to our ancestors, you know, the cavemen, what was it all about? It was about surviving. That has been within us all the way through. That is what our ego is about. It's about survival. Now, if we're relating that to today's world, if we get too attached to our ego, it's because certain subconscious needs are not being met, because we have our emotional needs, right? But we like to feel, it's human nature to wanting to feel accepted, to be liked. And it's human nature to want to feel loved and appreciated and heard. And we also have our physical needs, you know, shelter, food, water. And that basic underlying need for survival does come from, you know, physical, shelter, food, water, in order to actually function properly. But also on a level with that is the need to feel loved and accepted and heard, and all of these emotional needs that we have. And this all comes from our ego. Now, if we're going to relate this to, you know, mental health and why it's such a killer with men and committing suicide, where do you feel that suicide really comes from? If we're to look at that, suicide, and I was in a suicidal stage, so I'm speaking from past experience. I don't know what their journeys are or were, which is really sad to say. But for me personally, it's not the fact that I wanted to end my life. I just wanted the pain to go away. I can't speak on behalf of those guys, but I can almost guarantee a lot of those guys feel the same. And obviously women who commit suicide, but we know guys notoriously are terrible at talking about their feelings. So they must feel some sort of element of truth to that, where it's like, I just want this pain to go away. Some people might just want to end their life, and that's really sad. So where does that come from? Well, a lot of suicide is fundamentally loneliness, because you feel you are so alone that no one can help you. You are helpless. Your situation will never change. There's no positivity in your life. And all of those elements contribute to the real deep-rooted loneliness that individual feels. And what is loneliness? Loneliness is a lack of feeling appreciated, heard, loved. All of these basic needs that we have, deep-rooted, ingrained into our psyche. So with those physical and emotional needs, I don't know what just happened there. That was my bag falling out the back. Apologies for that. With our most basic emotional and physical needs, that is what our ego is concerned with. Once those needs are then met, so once you feel loved, appreciated, accepted within a community, in an intimate relationship, within your family, all of these things, that with, you know, your food, water, shelter, which for in places like UK, Australia, whatever, we're very lucky. That's just quite natural for us. But in those poorer countries, you know, a lot of people struggle with that, and that's really sad. But for us, that's almost like, you know, that's the norm. So when it comes to the emotional side of things, you have to think, what are your emotional needs being met? Because once something happens, something could trigger you that makes you feel like that need isn't being met. For example, say you get an argument with someone, you think about that potentially for the whole day, maybe for a week, maybe for a month, I don't know. But that you thinking about that, that runs deep because it's suddenly threatened your need to maybe feel heard or loved by that friend or that family member or your partner. Someone might break up with you and you're broken because it's your threatened emotional need of not feeling loved. So if we're to relate this now to, if you're not in a great space, it's like, right, okay, what is it about you not feeling loved, heard or accepted? What is it about that feels like it's viable in your head? Because when I felt that, I had all the evidence around me suggesting that, or showing me that I was very loved and accepted, but I just had that in my mind, I wasn't. And I don't have the answers for this. I'm not going to come up with the answers because, you know, I could go on and on about this, and I want to keep this relatively concise for an episode. But I just want you to think about that. What are your emotional needs being met? Because once they feel threatened, that's when your ego comes in. And your ego, because it's like a protection mechanism, your ego has a fear of death. I know that sounds pretty brutal, but that's true. So that's why suddenly when you get so attached into that egoic space, intense feelings of anxiety, worry, despair, you know, those intense feelings, that's when they come in. Depending on how attached you are to that experience of what's happened to you, it's going to depend on what kind of emotion and feelings are going to flush through your system, whether that's, you know, a depressed state, or whether you are in depression, a state of depression, whether it's frustration, overwhelm. If it's just a little bit of concern, then suddenly something hasn't dramatically happened, but, you know, something small has triggered that you to feel that, and that's a small little threat of that need. Whereas say if someone was to pass away in your family, that obviously those negative feelings you're feeling, because it's a very intense action or an event, an occurrence that's happened in your life, naturally that feeling of your threat and need is going to feel much more intense, and your ego is going to take more of a battering. So asking yourself what emotional needs are being met currently for you right now. And once you become aware of this concept of your emotional needs being met, that's when you can actually start to work on them. And you can become, not only, you don't have necessarily have to work on them, but just being consciously aware of them. And a lot of ill mental health is feeling like there's a lack of emotional needs being met. That's a deep-rooted issue with mental health. And one way to really explore that and to get out to, well, to come out the other end of that is just talking to someone who, you know, doesn't have to be a therapist. Sometimes people go to these groups where it's a safe space and they go to these groups and talk about what's going on in their life. And they're powerful spaces because you're talking to random people you don't know, you don't have any attachment to, but you're in that space of being vulnerable like them. And there's no judgment because everyone's just trying to work through their own shit, and that's why they're there. They can be really powerful spaces. But even if you just get your thoughts out there some way, that's just you processing it to yourself, not bottling it in. But I would always suggest, trying to talk to someone, even if it's like the Samaritans, or even if it's just a random in a cafe. I've done that before where, I've got into conversation with someone and they asked me how my day was going. I just turned around and I was like, well, actually, I'm feeling a bit low. And they asked why. And we got into a really good conversation about, what triggered me that day. And just when I came out of that coffee shop, I was just felt so much better because I chatted to someone. But my brain has been conditioned now to talk openly about what's going on inside of my head, all because of me starting therapy. And I know it's not as easy just talking to someone. I'm aware of that. I know I was in that space. But one thing that can really help you get into that space, which links nicely back to what we were speaking earlier, is those four things that you can consciously do every day. It's working on your movement, trying to become more mindful, what you nourish your body with, your sleep. That is what can help you into that space. So guys, we're going to finish there, and I could go on and on and on. And I just wanted to get that out there to you, because I think it's really important to understand what you can consciously do every day and every week to take yourself from where you are now into maybe a healthy space, and to feel better within yourself, to have a better view of yourself. But also, even if you are like in a healthy space right now and you're feeling good, and I love that for you, we know that that doesn't happen forever. We are going to go in peaks and troughs. That is part of our human experience. So it's having those things now and working on them consistently now when you're in a better space, when you've got more energy for them. So they almost become, they become habit. So when you maybe go into a bit of a trough and, life gets a bit shit, you are doing those things as a habit, those four things, working on those four things, and you're going to find it easier to get through that harder time. And then you're going to become out the other end and you're going to feel better again. You'll feel grateful for the fact that you did work on those things when you were in that previous good space. But also, just talking a little bit today and getting you to explore the idea of not only our physical safety, but your emotional needs, and understanding how the ego has that fear of feeling threatened. And as soon as a threat comes in, whether that's from a partner, from a friend, from a colleague or whatever, it really can tap into that egoic mind and you get so attached to it. And that's when all those feelings and those negative feelings and emotions come up. And that, because that is ultimately the root cause of suicide, the being so lonely that you feel like the only option is to end your life. So just being aware of that, guys. And once you kind of work on your emotional needs and where they're being met, that's when you can really build a strong foundation into your spiritual self, where you can really start to build up your self-esteem, your confidence, the relationship you have as well with other people and what you give back to the world, all of these things. Accessing high levels, high states of not only consciousness, but high levels of yourself. That all comes from having a strong emotional foundation. And with that, ladies and gents, we are going to finish on there. And I hope you got something from this episode. And I try not to ramble on because I get very passionate about these things, as you can probably hear it in my voice. But yeah, until next time, guys, if you have any questions, message me on jacksnapperpt on my Instagram or email me jacksnapperpt@gmail.com. If you feel like this episode maybe could really help someone else, not maybe, but could help someone else, feel free to share and to like the podcast, because then more people might be able to gain some value from this. So guys, until next time, have a fantastic week and look forward to doing the next one with you.